He looked like he was going to have a really good point, and then he just kind of came back to what we all kind of already know here at church, don't we? That the authority that the world looks to is God. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. I just want to thank you for coming this morning. What a beautiful morning. Feels like spring, doesn't it? And let's just fast forward on to March 21st and skip the rest. Well, maybe we need to learn something throughout the winter here. It is a good season, beautiful season. We continue our series this morning called Four Grown Men. Four Grown Men. Stemming from the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and what's the other ones? Luke and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of course, we remember that Matthew and John followed Jesus while he walked on earth. Jesus came to them and chose them out of a crowd or from behind his tax collector's booth, as in the case of Matthew. Luke and Mark follow Jesus in a little different way. While the first two, Matthew and John, followed Jesus like watching, you know, another person, like watching Jesus. If I were to follow Steve out of here, first thing he'd say is, where are you, you know, what are you doing? But anyway, Matthew and John followed Jesus like a rabbi's students followed their rabbi in the flesh. Luke and Mark followed Jesus because someone discipled them. Can you hear me all the way back? They didn't have the privilege that Matthew and John had in seeing Jesus in the flesh, but they walked not by sight, they walked by faith. They became disciples no less than Matthew and John. I want to recommend that you purchase the book, Each One Disciple One. I went to stantoler.com this week, and I talked to Stan's son, Adam. Yeah, I got to talk to Stan's son. Now, I know Stan. Stan helped me work through some stuff a few years ago. Stan is one of our former general superintendents, and he's also a part author of this book, Each One Disciple One. I want to encourage you to either go to NPH, which is NazarenePublishingHouse.com, or stantoler.com. I was having a little trouble with the website this week, stantoler.com, and so I called, and I talked to Adam, his son, and he said, I'm so sorry you're having trouble. He said, let me just get you one, and he got us all fixed up. He didn't sign it. I don't think I'm going to get a signed signature, but I did read on Facebook, Mark, just don't rub it in, okay? Mark and Pam got signed copies by Stan Toler himself. Stan is undergoing cancer treatment, as many of you know from his Facebook posts, and he just put on a post this week that his cancer is responding well to chemotherapy. So let's continue to thank God for that and continue to lift up Dr. Stan Toler. We're going to be in the book Each One Disciple One throughout the year, throughout this year, 2017, and there is a schedule in your bulletin. We're just going to give you as many opportunities to be a part of that training that you possibly can. There are multiple doorways into getting all of the material. So it would be our prayer at the end of 2017 that all of us have not only become fully devoted followers, but that we are also mentoring someone. Amen, Joe? That we are mentoring someone as a disciple, so that by the end of 2017, we have relationships with maybe people that are in here, but maybe people that are out there, outside of the context of the church, that you are beginning a formal relationship with in regards to being a discipler of someone else in your life. So we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By the way, they're so different. We know from Colossians chapter 4 that Luke was a doctor. And we surmise from that, because of his relationship with the Apostle Paul, that Luke may have been the Apostle Paul's doctor. The Apostle Paul had many ailments. He had things that he referred to in the course of his writings, and we acknowledge that he probably had a personal physician, and it may have been Luke. Luke spent time with Paul. Mark spent time with Peter. They were discipled by these men. And so our series this morning, four grown men. Each of them had lives. They were normal guys, but each of them became followers of Jesus Christ, and God used them to change the world. You know what? We're changed today because they were obedient. They went into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. Well, with many nuances of personality, all four of the writers have unique characteristics, but all four of them demonstrate living in tune with the Spirit. Last week I brought up a mandolin and demonstrated that there are four pairs of strings on a mandolin. The first pair, I'm going to refer to Lynette again. I should remember this, but the first pair are G. That's all I'll remember. The first pair is G. In other words, if we tune the first string to G, and then we're going to tune the second string to G as well. The first string would represent God. The second string would represent us. By the way, did you know that every element on earth has a resonant frequency? Even the rocks cry out. They echo with the creative energy of God. Amen? And did you know that each resonant frequency can be imposed upon by another frequency? Now, when a resonant frequency is imposed on, it doesn't vibrate or resonate with its top efficiency, but rather because of the pressure applied by it or on it by other frequencies, it can produce a different tone, a different frequency, but it is never going to be as efficient until it resonates with the original frequency with which it was created. Amen? Now, there's all kinds of implications there. Culture imposes a frequency on us, and we can feel like we're surviving, but until we know Jesus Christ as Lord and surrender to Him in every area of our life, we will never resonate with the frequency that we were born with. And that's what Jesus is calling us back to. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to also John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Very truly, Jesus said, I'll tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Boy, that's not a hollow promise, is it? There's substance behind that. And you know why he can say that is because he is the authority. Today we're talking about spiritual authority. So let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Last week we've been talking about the disciples. We've been talking about their calling. We've been talking about John the Baptist and preaching and a message of repentance and confession and being baptized, each of which are levels of development in our lives, but each of these things also happens somewhat simultaneously in that we continue a relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, not just one and done. Amen? We have to continue to live in the relationship that we know. It's a living, breathing relationship with the author of creation. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 34. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit. Now, let's just stop right there and realize that that can happen anywhere. We can all look good and put on a face this morning, amen? We can dress up, We can put on an outward appearance, but even in church, there can be the presence of an impure spirit. It can demonstrate as an attitude, a sour, negative attitude that does not reflect the optimism of God. It can be a pessimistic attitude against God's economy. It says, God, I just don't, you know, you said to put you first in everything, but I'm going to have to hold back on that because I just can't trust you. I'm pessimistic in regards to your power in my little economy, so therefore I'm going to hold back. An impure spirit can take its form in many shapes and sizes. And here's a man who was in the synagogue, and yet he was possessed by an impure spirit. And that spirit cried out in resistance to God. It said, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all amazed, so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching?" And with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. And news about him spread quickly all over the region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon. And remember those four names? Those were the names that Jesus called last Sunday, or, you know, 2,000 some years ago. But we talked about it last Sunday. James and John, Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. The secrecy motif is a signature of Mark, the writer, and scholars are still kind of not in unison about what that means. But it wasn't until later. It's like Jesus is keeping it on the down low who he is, because maybe it's that he knew he had work to do before he was put on the cross. But Mark was in tune with that through the Apostle Peter. So you'll see that in the Gospel of Mark. Mark is always toning it down in regards to, you know, Jesus just putting it out there who he was. One of my favorite books in all the books that I've read is Charles Sheldon, In His Steps. How many of you have read that book? You remember the little elastic bands that were on everybody's wrists about, you know, 10 years ago? It said, what would Jesus do? That's what this originates from. Way back in 1896, the author of the story, In His Steps, which was a fiction, a writing in fiction, which began as a sermon series. Every night, Charles Sheldon, as he preached, told the story, one of the chapters in the book, and it began with Reverend Maxwell in the town of Raymond, which was on the East Coast. Reverend Maxwell was preparing a sermon one Saturday afternoon, and he got a knock at his study door, and there before him presented a man who was homeless. He was hungry. He was in great need. Now, of course, Reverend Maxwell thought about all the things that he had to do, and he kind of brushed the man off, and he sent him to perhaps another place, another group of people who could help him. That next day, of course, was Sunday, and Reverend Maxwell got up, and he began to speak, and as he spoke, a gentleman stood up from the congregation, and he came to the front, and everyone gave him the floor. A homeless beggar. The man simply stated, "I'm not trying to belittle anyone, I'm not trying to accuse anyone, but I'm hungry." and I am in need and I'm sick, and is there anyone that could help me? And he collapsed and shortly thereafter died. It was an incredible impression that it left on Charles Sheldon, and so he began that next Sunday challenging his congregation to not do anything without asking, what would Jesus do? Because he replayed over and over in his mind the interaction that he had with the poor beggar, and he realized that he should have asked, what would Jesus do? As we meet human need, as we meet with pulls on our attention, as we meet with things that would divide us, we have to ask, what would Jesus do? I've met a few authors in my life. Stan Toler's one of them. As an author, he's written somewhere in the neighborhood of 30, 35 books. And Mark and Pam have his signature on theirs. Okay? Just to make sure everybody knows. But the author has the power to write the story. In fact, if we look at the word authority, it comes down to the root word, which is author. The author is the originator, the creator, the writer of the story. Amen? Y'all get enough sleep last night? Just making sure that, y'all with me. Alyssa says, no, she kept me up all night. All right. The author is the originator of the story. And so when we go back to who is it that has authority to write his story, his story, it is the author of creation, the author who is God, who has the final authority. Amen, Steve? The gospel writers recognize that God is the author of the story they are writing. They are unified in message that Jesus has ultimate authority over everything: sickness, darkness, and sin. In the presence of Jesus is driven out. Amen? And so, what a wonderful prayer for you and me as disciples. Lord, where there is sin, where there is disagreement with your lordship, where there is an impure spirit, Lord, drive it out. Amen? Do I need to get up here on a chair? Where there is sin, where there is an impure spirit, where there is disagreement against God, the disciple needs to be saying, Lord, in a prayer, on our knees, or on top of a chair, Lord, drive it out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How do I get down from here without looking foolish? Hey, back in the old days, preachers used to get up on chairs and run the aisles and get their hankies out. Mark chapter 1, verse 22. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Amazed. Someday we're going to meet the author of us, the author of history, face to face. Amen, Ella? Now, he signed my life with the blood of his son. And each person who has been saved and has acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, the blood of his son has signed their lives. But someday, we're going to meet him face to face. The author signed my life, but someday I'm going to get to meet the author face to face. Just then a man in their synagogue, Mark 1:23, who was possessed by an unclean spirit, cried out, We're possessed by whatever has a grip on us. whatever's controlling your thoughts this morning that is not a part, that is not of God, has a grip on you and you are possessed by. And just as we can be possessed and infilled by the Holy Spirit, we can be possessed and infilled by an impure spirit. Lord, drive it out. Drive everything out of my life that doesn't resemble your love, that doesn't look like the image of your Son. Drive it out, Lord. Mark 1:21, the Holy One of God. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? You see, the demons recognize him for who he is. And well, we get so distracted. And we go about life and somehow we don't believe it's really that important to acknowledge God for who he really is as the author of our life and has absolute claim on our life. Amen, Skylar? Your future, he has a claim on because he's the author of history. This morning I left all of my pens up here. I've got three. By the way, I took these two from Lost Lake. Need to return these. And I got this one. This is a weekly thing for me. I've robbed their little cup because I get out there. I've left all my pens here. I get out there and I don't have any pens, so I take another one and then I bring it back here. I leave it here and the next week I get another. They're out of pens over there. So this morning I got up to preach and I'm like, and there was no pen there because I was going to use it as an illustration. And I asked Jeanette, I said, can I borrow your pen? And she like gave me the evil eye. I know, because she likes the Zebra F301, which is a fine point stainless steel barrel clicker. And so she let me borrow her pen, and I talked about it this morning. I talked about when we are born, with a free will, which resembles this pen. And we can write the entire story of our life with our pen. And it can turn out, it can turn out, well, just exactly how we want it to. It can resemble our attitudes, and it can resemble our values, and it can resemble what it is that we hold near and dear. But as a saved and sanctified person, we hand the pen of our life over to the author, who has the authority to write his story into our lives. Amen? And when we hand the pen of our life, the free will, and we agree with what he wants to do with our lives, and we let him write the story of our life, all of a sudden it ends up that our life is not in contention with God, but in agreement with God. And he fulfills his purpose in and through us, because we have surrendered the free will of our life over to the author of life, Jesus Christ. So I was out at Lost Lake this morning and I had Jeanette's pen. This isn't it. But I had Jeanette's pen and everybody thought that was funny that I, got Jeanette's pen, and I was going to have to make sure that I gave it back to her because she's very possessive about her Zebra F301. So in front of everybody, I gave her back her pen, and she took it. And someone in the congregation came up and said, Pastor, I have a Zebra F301 I'd like to give you. So I have a Zebra F301 this morning. Oh, Holy One of God. The title Holy One of God means that Jesus is infinitely and absolutely holy, fully and perfectly divine. He is transcendent and majestic. He came down from above to save sinners. Yet he is set apart from sinners in that he is completely sinless, without any moral blemish, perfect in all his ways. His being is holy. His character is holy. His mind is holy. His motives are holy. His judgments are holy. From the top of His head to the bottom of His feet, every inch, every ounce, the totality of His being, the sum of His existence, the second person of the Godhead is equally holy with God the Father. They knew that. O Holy One of God, what have You come to do to us? And they waited in suspense because they recognized His authority. There's a time coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's a truth for today. As I was studying and thinking and praying about what it is that God would have us know as a result of our time together today in our scripture, and that is, God will always have the first and the last word. Can I get an amen? Amen. God will always have the first and the last word. This week I had the privilege of meeting with Larry Jones, the chaplain at KSB. And we were meeting for breakfast, and he was going to take me through the emergency volunteer chaplain program where, you know, someone is dying and the family is needing a chaplain in the middle of the night or whenever, and I'm working with him to be part of that program. And I walked into the KSB cafeteria, and I felt like I was with a movie star. I mean, everybody knew Larry. You know, they're like, Larry, yo, Larry. He's like, hey, bless you. And I'm like, man, what a good morning. And so Larry, you know, took me up to the buffet, you know, the buffet, where, but it's behind the counter, you know, they're going to scoop it for you. And so I got my utensils, and I got my napkin, and I got my tray, and I was all ready. And I passed this little acrylic stand there that had some writing on it, and I didn't pay any attention to it. And I looked at the food, the stainless steel trays, and it all looked so good. And so I thought, here's what I'll have. And there's a woman back there with a spoon, and you know, she had her KSB name tag on, and she had a hairnet on, and she had all the garb on, and I said, with a certain profound authority, I said, I'll have the biscuits and gravy. And she looked at me and said, sir, we're not serving biscuits and gravy today. And I looked at the food, and what appeared to me to be very obvious was biscuits and gravy. And I'm like, I'm with Larry. So thinking that maybe she didn't understand who I was with, or maybe there was some kind of misunderstanding, I thought, I'll just say it again. I'd like to have the biscuits and gravy. And she used her finger and she pointed at the acrylic little stand there that had the menu in it. She said, we're not serving biscuits and gravy today, but everything is right there on the menu that you can have. And I thought, well, she used her finger, I'm going to use mine. And I said, I got Larry here, you know. I take the biscuits and the gravy. And she said, sir, those are biscuits, but that's not gravy. That's oatmeal. And I quickly backpedaled and I got all humble and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, I'll take the bacon and eggs. And so I took the bacon and eggs, and you know, I'm feeling a little bit shrunk down in my authority. You know, I had Larry there by my side and I spoke with such authority. You know, I'll take the biscuits and gravy. And it wasn't even gravy, it was oatmeal. So I'm walking away with, you know, my eggs and my bacon, and I'm feeling not real tall. And she says, she had the audacity to say, sir, would you still like a biscuit Just had to rub it in a little, didn't you? So, thought about that this week, and I thought, here's what I can learn from that. The lady with the hairnet behind the counter with the spoon knows what's going on and knows what's on the menu. Can you hear me all the way back? And I can come into my life and I can take charge and I can say, I can see what the options are for me, and I'll take the biscuits and I'll take the gravy. And God says, we're not serving biscuits and gravy today. And I can say, well, there must be some misunderstanding. Biscuits and gravy, you can fill in any kind of, you know, impure attitude or, you know, unbecoming behavior, anything like that. And I can walk in and I can say, but there must be some misunderstanding. And God says, here's what we're serving today. And I said, well, you know, I take the biscuits and gravy. And God keeps pointing back to the author of our choices and behavior and attitudes. And he says, this is what we're serving today. And I didn't read it because I could see what I wanted. It was very obvious. Why can't I have it? Well, because we're not serving that, and that's not what you think it is. Oh, I can put oatmeal on your biscuits if you really want me to. No, thank you. So the one with the hairnet and the spoon is the one who knows what's going on. So let's bring it a little closer to where we all are. The one who created the world and everything in it is the authority and knows what's on the menu and knows what's being served. Amen. You see, we can read the story of God as though it's about other people, another time and another place. But the Bible reminds us this morning that we can know the author personally. That we can interact with him and he with us, and he wants to know our story. And I'm just amazed that Stan Toler a few years ago took time with me on the phone. He took time with me in a crowd. He took time with me because he cared. We have all been commissioned and authorized to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what we're serving today, God says. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one of you should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Oh, not today, Jesus. I'm going to have the biscuits and gravy. Jesus said, no, we're not serving that today, because that's not what you think it is. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Jesus reached out and he touched the hand of Simon's mother-in-law, and she got up and was healed. A touch. We all know what that's like, a touch, a warm word, a word of encouragement, a gracious forgiveness, a text, a check, a meal, a touch. Jesus brings help and healing in every area of our lives. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, you've given us a term of endearment that we can address you by. Yet, Lord, you are the author and finisher, originator, creator of our faith. We are humbled. to come before you as the creator of everything. Write your story through us, that history, His story, is accurately lived out, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, live through us, Lord. Amen. Next week, we'll be talking about the power of prayer. The power of prayer from Mark chapter 1.
sinner.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
It is incomparable, great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only is it in the present age, but also in the one to come. God bless you guys. Have a great week. You are dismissed.